Blog Talk Radio.
Pentagon feather merchants, the phony war against ISIS, the feminist train wreck in the military, liberal fools and other politically incorrect issues. This is the Ray Starman Show.
Says Life magazine, True Grit is good enough for me. It's good enough for you. And if it isn't good enough for some movie company, then the free enterprise system is really going to hell. Move along!
They tell me you're a man with True Grit.
Well, what do you want? Speak up.
It's Thursday and it's 1 o'clock in sunny Los Angeles, Southern California. This is Ray Starman, the host of the Ray Starman Show. I'm also the editor of USDefenseWatch.com, an all-original content website that covers U.S. defense issues, foreign policy, and U.S. politics 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We've got a 45-minute broadcast today on the Ray Starman Show, and the main subject, which we'll talk about at length, is American True Grit, how we lost it, and how we can get it back. We'll also talk about the ongoing, building, cascading, snowballing, disastrous Hillary Clinton email scandal. And then we'll check in with some other current events and news of the day. And we'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show. On the Ray Starman Show. That was, of course, the famous, probably one of the greatest music soundtracks of all time, from The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, from the Italian composer Ennio Morricone. I believe I was given an honorary Academy Award a couple of years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I think that even though that's a spaghetti western filmed in Italy, with some foreign stars, but of course with Clint Eastwood, Lee Van Cleef, sort of epitomizes the toughness, the true grit of the American. I should say the Americans used to be. When I was stationed over in Europe with the military, and a couple times where people asked me if I was a cowboy or if I knew any cowboys. I don't dress like a cowboy. I probably was walking around in maybe a pair of blue jeans with just a leather jacket and a button down or something, t-shirt. But they wanted to know if I was a cowboy, and I maybe that's to the rest of the world, that's still or was the way they pictured Americans. The guy in the white hat, the guy that can right wrongs, the tough guy a tough girl. And in the movie, the 1969, the original movie, True Grit with John Wayne, when Kim Darby asks the character Rooster Cogburn, are you a man with true grit? Well, most Americans in our long history had true grit. What is true grit? How is it defined? Courage, honesty, common sense, and hardiness. And I would say that those qualities have disappeared from most Americans in the 21st century. And I think a lot of people would agree with me. You may have one person that's honest, but they might not have courage or common sense, or vice versa, and vice versa. You take a look around. We're no longer the United States of the Minutemen. We're not the same people that when they heard the British were coming to seize guns at Lexington and Concord, they took their weapon above the fireplace, locked and loaded, and met the greatest military force on earth, stopped them from seizing the arms, and subsequently chased them back under fire all the way back about 20 miles back to Boston. It wasn't a good trip back for the British. They were picked off and sniped at like jackrabbits the whole way. I wonder if Americans have that kind of true grit to do something like that. I think there's some. And I think that Americans in certain places, regions, have a little bit more grit than others. You know, I think when Ted Cruz was talking about New York values as a Texan, he wasn't saying that all New Yorkers don't have true grit or red, white, and blue American ideals. He was saying that some do, and a lot of them, but there's certainly a lot of tough ones. There's still pockets and regions of Americans that have true grit, but I would say about 80% of it is gone from 80% of America. So I just talked about how America, the world still looks at Americans as the cowboy. What that represents. The good guy, the guy in the white hat. We don't wear cowboy hats in World War II, but we did save the world. In 1991, we saved the Kuwaitis and our oil. We're always trying to do good. A lot of times we screw up in the process, but we usually have good intentions. What else does the cowboy represent? Independence, hardiness, individualism. Probably the greatest American trait of all is that we're individualists, or we used to be. We're basically all the individualists who left the world's countries, every country in the world, and came here because we were too individualistic, our forefathers, to want to continue in those countries. There's not one country in the world that produces the individualists that America does, or we used to. We still have it. Like I said, some of this is still there, but a lot of it is gone. And we're going to talk about why it's gone and how we can bring it back in a moment. Let's talk about some other representatives of the United States that was before it's been eaten alive since the 60s by social engineers and leftist crackpots who have managed to inculcate their upside-down 180 ideals on the rest of us. The boys of Pointe-du-Hoc, D-Day, the Rangers land at Pointe-du-Hoc, 150-foot cliff. They're carrying tons of gear. Mission, get up the cliffs with all the gear you're carrying, kill the Germans, seize the guns. They got up the cliffs, they killed the Germans. They didn't seize the guns because the guns had moved. Guess who found the guns? Captured them, killed the Germans that were guarding them. Major Dick Winters, the Band of Brothers. Greatest, probably the greatest miniseries of all time. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Most realistic portrayal of the military I've ever seen. The Mountain Men, rugged individualists who trailblazed the American West. Do you think we can find people like that in America now? I mean, how many American men have spent their whole life and have never slept a night that they weren't in their bed, tucked under their sheets and their L.L. Bean comforter? How about Merrill's Marauders, which are really the predecessor to the 75th Ranger Regiment, World War II in the China-Burma-India Theater? Merrill's Marauders conducted a 1,000-mile forced march up and down the Burmese mountains and jungle to come around the flank of the Japanese army and hit them hard and beat them. Those guys had every form of jungle disease and sickness imaginable, but they completed their mission. Why? Because they had American true grit. Where is the America now of Jim Bowie, of Jedediah Smith, Wyatt Earp, George Patton, Chesty Puller, Teddy Roosevelt, Molly Pitcher, Rosie the Riveter, and millions of anonymous, tough, brave, resourceful people who built this great country? Where are they? They are gone. They're only part of our memory of a History Channel special. And what do we have now? Take a look around. Take a look around, folks. America of 2016 is a nation of overweight kids that have worse health problems than middle-aged Americans because they don't do anything all day except play video games. And they can't because their mommy and daddies hem them in because they're so afraid to let them out in the yard. You never know, they might fall and scrape their knee. America of 2016 is a nation of soccer moms, socialist public school administrators who banned dodgeball, running, recess, public or physical education. Another reason these kids nowadays are so out of shape is because they don't get any exercise. If the communists running the school won't you let you go out there and run around a couple times a day, won't let you do PE, won't let you do dodgeball, won't let you do this because, you know, it's a nanny state now and they're afraid you're going to hurt yourself. Well, guess what? Everybody, I'm still here. So are millions of Americans who managed to survive dodgeball. We all lived through it. We all lived through recess. We all lived through falling on the playground. Nobody's gone. King of the Mountain, snowball fights. Managed to survive all of it without somebody nannying us. So of course the crazy social engineers were there in the 70s, but they didn't have the backing that they do now. Excuse me. America of 2016 is a nation of metrosexual men. How many times do you walk past a nail salon and there's at least four or five guys in there getting their pedicures and their manicures? Can you imagine your grandfather's generation? Can you imagine the greatest generation sitting in a nail salon, a guy who's a World War II combat vet, getting a manicure and a pedicure? And these guys sit there like they're women. They could, you know, it doesn't matter if they're homosexual or heterosexual. It doesn't matter. It's just the way they act. They got their little pants bundled up. They look like they have little capris on. You walk around Los Angeles, you see men walking around in capris. Isn't that something a woman wears? Men getting facials and all this little pampering. Everybody wants to take care of their health. There's no doubt about it. Natural products, supplements, eating right, exercise. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about men in America acting like women. Straight men. We come back on the Ray Starman Show. We'll continue talking about American true grit, how we lost it, and how we can get it back. The Ray Starman Show is brought to you by Steve Barton's News Alert, the total link site for the news and information junkie. Libertarianism, property rights, government corruption, the struggle against socialism, higher education ripoffs, the housing crash, gun control monopolists, the Ron Paul revolution, and other politically incorrect matters of interest. Check out Steve Barton's News Alert. That's analert.blogspot.com or Google, Bing, or Yahoo, Steve Barton's News Alert. You won't be disappointed. We're back on the Ray Starman Show. We've got about 16 minutes left today. This show is going fast. And next week we will have interviews. We will begin to have guests and move into a longer format, which I've been promising all along. Your show is gradually rebuilding, getting more people listening to the show, getting more people listening to the archive version of the show. And thank you if you've been listening. Appreciate it. America of 2016 is a nation of transgender TV stars. And we all know who I'm talking about. Caitlyn, Bruce Jenner, the Olympic decathlon champ in 1976 Olympics in Montreal. If Bruce Jenner's happy being Caitlyn, that's fine. But the media covers him like he is the second coming of Abraham Lincoln. And enough said about that. We can all make our own judgments on that. It's not his own personal choice that's the worst part. It's the fact that the media covers him, like I said, like he's the second coming of Abraham Lincoln. And that shows you how screwed up the mainstream media is in this country. America of 2016 is a nation of helicopter parents. These parents nowadays, they're constantly contacting their kids at school when they're off to college, emailing all day, because it's all the communication. When I would call home when I was in college, more than once a week, my father would get on me because it cost too much. Unless he told me not to call more than once a week unless there was an emergency. You know, how, are you okay? Yeah, I'm doing fine. All right, well, I'll tell your mother you called. Goodbye. Boy, if somebody's parent did that to them now, these little fragile little snowflakes, they would have a nervous breakdown right there in their dorm room, which segues into the next group of Americans who certainly have no true grit, are this little snowflake generation that's been pampered for the last 25 years. And now we're seeing the results of helicopter parents, soccer moms, socialist public school administrators have created the snowflake generation. Kids who are afraid of everything. Everything is offensive to them. They need safe spaces. They read a passage in a book they didn't like. My God, it scared me. I better move into my safe space and have some Play-Doh. Do you know that Yale University, one of the greatest universities in the world, they have safe spaces for these kids where they have Play-Doh. And maybe they can turn on bubble guppies too for them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine prior generations of Americans acting like that? I really can't. But it's been building, like I said, from the 60s. We're going to get into that in a second. We have our military, which I've talked about endlessly, being led by feather merchants, perfume princes, who care more about following White House social engineering mandates than they do about doing what is right for the national defense. America of 2016 is a nation of quirky, politically correct wimps who place more value on our social media status than the ideas that made this country the greatest nation on earth. Truth, honor, bravery are all archaic and fleeting values in American society. Not with everybody. Somebody's probably listening right now saying, hey, I like John Wayne movies too, buddy. I've got guns. Yes, but you're in the minority. You know what I'm talking about. Our heroes today seem to be fly-by-night social media stars who disappear as quickly as they appear on your phone app. You know, I'm talking about somebody who makes a YouTube video and gets 20 million likes. Imagine the guys on D-Day riding in their Higgins boats to the shores of France, looking at their phone, wondering how many likes they have on Facebook. It's almost laughable. We've adopted, and this is what bothers me even more, we've adopted a follow the herd mentality in a nation that is formerly filled with the world's toughest and most innovative individualists. We're afraid to take tough positions for fear of speaking the truth, as if the truth can physically harm us. You know, I don't know how many former military officers and current military officers that I know, they don't like this, a lot of the articles on U.S. Defense Watch. They don't like the fact of what I say is truth. Speaking out. It's better just to go, it's this herd mentality. Don't say what really the truth is. Go along with it because we don't want to upset the apple cart. We're not going to have an apple cart the way we're going. One of the greatest lines of bringing up John Wayne again. Remember when he said there's right and there's wrong. And you got to do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other, you may be walking around, but you're as dead as a beaver hat. Everybody in this country is afraid to say what they're thinking. Why do you think Donald Trump is so popular? He's the one guy out there who is saying everything everybody is afraid to say. We've become a nation living in fear since 9/11. We're a nation now that wants the government to make us safe. We need to make ourselves safe and not depend on any government to do anything for us. When in the history of mankind did a government ever do anything for anybody except try to enslave someone? We've developed a go-along, get-along attitude that gets us nowhere. Not speaking the truth, not doing what you know is right, in order to placate someone or something, is paralyzing to the country. Look at our TV shows in this country and our entertainment. You know, the average American man is portrayed as some kind of feckless, incompetent dud who is being told off by a five-year-old. Where are the heroes of American TV in the past? Marshall Dillon, Sergeant Saunders in combat, Magnum, McGarrett. Oh, we have modern McGarrett, but it's not the same. Sorry if you like the new version. I can't stand it. And how did all this start? How did we get there, and how can we fix it? We're going to talk about that when we come right back on the Ray Starman Show after this quick, very quick station break. On the Ray Starman Show. We've got about 21 minutes left here. And let's talk about how did the greatest nation on earth, what Ronald Reagan frequently referred to as the shining city on the hill, how did it become the nation that I've just described in America without true grit? From the majority of the people, there's still some people with true grit. I know you're out there. It started with the social revolution in the 1960s. It set the precedent really for the complete unraveling of American society. Yes, the 1960s did some good things for civil rights, but as far as the complete structure of the American society has been crumbling since then. Our schools, our churches, our entertainment, the fine arts, and the military have been eaten alive by cultural Marxism, political correctness, and feminist insanity. Policies that have been set forth by dumpy socialist women in Birkenstocks and leftist idiots, leftist liberal leftist elected officials. These have now become the values of America. The 1960s social revolution did more damage to the United States than anything the Soviet Union could have ever done to us. And by the way, they were behind some of it too. The KGB was. And how can we get our true grit back? Is it possible? A good start, and the only start, would be the election of a Republican. This is probably one of the most important presidential elections in American history. if we elect that criminal Hillary Clinton or Dr. Zhivago Sanders, we are going down a dark road where there is no end. A Jesuit priest one time described to me, somebody asked him, actually it was in class, what hell was like. He said, being alone in the dark for eternity. We elect Dr. Zhivago Sanders or criminal at large Clinton. We won't be alone, but we will be together in the dark for eternity. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It's only if Trump or Cruz is elected. That's it. Because there's so much on the line. The economy is dead. Our foreign policy is dead. Our military is dying. You want to know what kind of military we have? All you have to do is look at what happened last week on the high seas in the Persian Gulf, which I've been talking about. You can check out some of the other shows where I've talked about that. We elected President Trump. Schools go back to teaching real American history, not the politically correct, multicultural garbage that they teach in public schools. American heroes must be ingrained in the psyche of Americans again. George Washington must be considered a hero among the youth of America again, and Thomas Jefferson. Not some cross-dressing former Olympic track star. We need to read more in this country. We need to find hobbies. To stop sitting and wasting our time on social media all day. Of course, it has a purpose. If you run a business, it has a purpose to communicate, but it becomes an obsession. And most importantly, Americans must never take counsel of our fears. Do what is right. Fear nothing. Have common sense and use your gut feelings. And remember what Dick Winters said, Major Dick Winters from Band of Brothers. Hang tough. Hang tough. And get tough. Again, America. Otherwise, we're going to be together in the dark for eternity. When I come back on the Ray Starman Show, speaking of darkness and evil, we'll talk about Hillary Clinton's ongoing disastrous email schedule. Scandal. I'll be right back on the Ray Starman Show.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world could. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really could. Isadora was the first bra burner, and you bet she showed up. The country was falling apart. Betsy Ross got it all sold up.
And then there's Maud.
And then there's Maud.
And then there's Hillary. Like I said, I think it was yesterday, Hillary is sort of the anti-Maud. She has elements of the Maud character. She's a liber. Kind of dresses like Maud. A lot of pantsuits, free-flowing stuff. But where Maud actually knew what the heck she was doing, Hillary is an incompetent idiot. She's also a criminal, unlike Maud. I like the music sort of encompasses the 70s zeitgeist that Hillary's sort of still living under. You know, the women's liberation, feminist movement that did some good things, but did a lot of bad things too for this country. Participated in the demise of American True Grit. Let's talk about Hillary's email scandal today. People have heard about what's been going on. The latest revelation is that Hillary had top secret special access program classified info that she was passing, using on her server on these emails. Now, let me explain what that is. There's three types of classified information. There's confidential, there's secret, and there's top secret. And then there's caveats to those, like there's secret no foreign, which means no foreign dissemination, stuff like that. There's above top secret, theoretically, and that is called SCI, sensitive compartmented information. And there's code words that they have, like I was talking, it's like it could be top secret hot dog. Everybody in intelligence has a top secret SCI clearance. Then there's also top secret SAP, SAP Special Access Program stuff. That usually are special programs. They're usually involving human intelligence operations, espionage, aka espionage, human intelligence. The kind of stuff that Hillary Clinton was passing or along, emailing to whoever on her non-secure server stored in the closet of a Rocky Mountain commode in a company run by two hipsters who didn't have a clearance to see anything more than anything. Top secret special access program info. Stuff like these are our human sources that the CIA is running in Mosul. This guy, Alibaba in Mosul, is a CIA asset. He's giving us information on ISIS. Could be stuff that have to do with the drone program. Other things. Anything. Think of anything that you think could be super secret national security-wise. Use your imagination. Special access program. You've seen the Bourne movies. You know how they're always talking about Treadstone? Treadstone. Bourne was an assassin for Treadstone. Treadstone is top secret Treadstone. Treadstone was a special access program that was conceived in the mind of the late Robert Ludlum, one of the greatest authors of all time. Godspeed. It's been gone for a while. Even those books are the Robert Ludlum Bourne line, the other stuff is continued written by ghostwriters. Not as good, still entertaining. Treadstone, special access program. Could be anything. Top secret John Wayne. Top secret True Grit. Excuse me. The most sensitive stuff that you can think of. If revealed, if in the hands of the enemy, the definition is that it will cause grave, grave damage to the United States of America. Hillary doesn't care. You know why? Because Hillary only cares about one person. Let's take a guess who that is. Begins with an H. H-I, double hockey sticks, A-R-Y. She is a narcissistic nut. She is a criminal. She is a liar. She is incompetent. And she does not care about the national security of the United States, as I've said over and over again. I don't know what else they need to bring out. And you know what I find interesting is how clever she thinks she is, but she's not being clever anymore because we've all cottoned to her little scheme. She keeps sent or received anything marked, classified. That's very clever, Hillary. Very clever little lawyer doublespeak. Did your lawyer tell you to say that? Because you've been repeating that over and over now for months. You know why it wasn't marked? Because your little gang of thieves in the State Department were taking the classifications off the top and bottom of the document. Every classified document is stamped at the top or written at the top. You know, top secret moonbeam, top and bottom, confidential, secret no form, secret NATO. Secret, top secret Tom Clancy, which is a felony. And everybody that did it for you, Hillary, is in the same boat that's sinking that you are. And the State Department has participated in the cover-up. They've stalled and stalled and stalled about not releasing the documents because they knew what was there. And now, because there's been enough pressure, judicial watch, lawyers, it's coming out, isn't it? And there's 100 FBI agents working on this. The main Democrat nominee for the President of the United States of America is under investigation for national security crimes. What happens if she actually guts this thing out, is indicted and convicted, gets elected by the idiots in this country who would vote for her still? And what's she going to do, pardon herself? She's going to be indicted, most likely. And if she doesn't, it will cause a backlash that the whole FBI will practically resign. She's going to be indicted. And then what? And then who's going to take her place? Hillary is indicted. Who would take her place? Is Joe Biden going to step in? Let's talk about Joe Biden for a second. You know, Joe Biden pretty much would be a continuation of the Obama administration. The only thing about Joe Biden is he's a likable guy. If Joe Biden came back in, Joe Biden against Trump, Joe Biden might win. Because there's many people that don't dislike him. They're like, well, he's Joe Biden. He's a nice guy. It's like the guy you sit next to at the ball game and talk to for 3 hours. The guy you ride the train with. And there's these rumors that Jerry Brown, speaking of top secret Moonbeam, Governor Moonbeam, might be in the race. Think about that one. Jerry Brown seems to be the only guy that can actually run California. He's the only guy that can seem to get control of the liberal nuts that are in the California state legislature. Remember when Arnold got in, the Terminator, I'm going to play a shake this state up. No, the state shook you up. Arnold wasn't that great of a governor at all. Got nothing done. The legislature hated him. And now what is he doing? He's playing a five-star general in video game commercials. And visiting his son that he had with the chambermaid. But Jerry Brown seems to, whatever he does, he seems to somewhat get the job done, if anybody can here. Who else could step in? Is it going to be O'Malley? It's not going to be O'Malley. It's not going to be O'Malley. James Webb is not really a Democrat, as I've said. So who is the next, who is waiting in the shadows? It's Bernie Sanders. And when I come back, we'll talk about Dr. Zhivago, comrade Bernie Sanders.
From Russia with love, I fly to you, much wiser since my goodbye to you. I've traveled the world to learn I must return from Russia.
Yes, Bernie has traveled the world. He's actually traveled to the Soviet Union at least once. That's where he had his honeymoon, Comrade Sanders. What an interesting phenomenon Bernie Sanders is on the American political scene. You know, the guy is a socialist. He's probably a borderline I'm going to just put him as a socialist / communist. What is the appeal of this guy? Okay, he's a guy who went on his honeymoon to the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Like I said, East Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, not good enough. Got to go deep in the heart of the Kremlin. You know, who knows? He could still be a long-term sleeper penetration agent being run by the KGB originally. And now the successor to the KGB, I doubt it. Who would want to run Bernie Sanders if you were an intelligence officer? You know, he wouldn't be easy to deal with. But what was the secret to this guy's success? He's blowing out Hillary in New Hampshire. Is it the fact that people are finally figuring out that Hillary Clinton is a lying, deceiving, arrogant, narcissistic criminal? The Secret Service could have told you that for decades. I think the Sanders thing is when he's the outsider on the left. This Trump is the outsider on the right. Okay, so that's getting him a lot. People don't like Hillary. And, Sanders, like I said, was it yesterday? I don't know, a couple days ago, he's appealing to two different stratas. The young, the millennials, they love the fact that he's promising everything is free. free college, free health care. Oh, you get pregnant, you got the maternity leave for 20 years. It's going to be like Sweden, you know, family leave, maternity leave, child care leave. We'll be working, every American will be working 15 hours a week under Sanders. You know what, Bernie? If I want to experience Swedish culture, I'll go to IKEA. I'll buy a couple cheap dressers and bookcases with their fake wood. I'll lug them out to my car. I'll come back in. I'll buy some of those Swedish meatballs for a buck and a soda and get out of there. And that's my experience with Swedish culture for the month. I don't want to import Sweden to the U.S. But a lot of people like him because he's promising free stuff. Everything is free. The young life, free, free, free. Who is paying for this? Do you realize how much the man is going to raise taxes to pay for all this free stuff he's promising? He's going to double the debt of the United States of America. He's going to sink the economy. Well, the economy is going to sink on its own. But Sanders gets elected, he would just be piling on the snowball. Snowball would be twice as much. You know, free cars, free health care, free education. Free this, free that. Have a problem? The state will take care of you. You are in good hands with the state under Comrade Bernie. You know, then the older generation loves them, the freeze-dried hippies, the baby boomers. You know, the guys that were getting beat up by the Chicago cops in 68. They love them. It's the last revolution. It's the last revolution. Take to the streets in your sandals one more time. Anybody who hasn't seen it, Larry David's impersonation of Bernie Sanders is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Just check it out on the internet. Larry David playing Bernie Sanders. And who would Bernie Sanders, let's say Hillary is wearing an orange jumpsuit. Joe Biden doesn't want anything to do with it. There's nobody left except Bernie Sanders. Who is going to be his vice presidential possibilities? And maybe like Rosa Klebb. Remember, From Russia with Love, she's the smirch assassin at the end who tries to kill Bond in the hotel room in Venice with her little pointy, poisoned spike shoes. She could be a good vice presidential nominee. She's a communist. Or maybe like Ms. Gladys Cranapple / Sanchez. She's the socialist public school administrator. Bernie could find millions of socialist public school administrators that would love to be his vice presidential candidate. See, Leon Trotsky's dead. Stalin's out. Eric Honecker's gone. Maybe I could find somebody that was in the Stasi. I think Eric Milka just died. There's a lot of choices, but we got to watch it because Bernie Sanders is indeed the red storm rising. Is indeed the red storm rising. We come back tomorrow on the Ray Starman Show of another 45-minute or an hour broadcast, and we'll be on again at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And thanks for joining me, and have a good day.